Tell you all that death story of my ugly birthmark. When and how I got my birthmark off. Well, it all started when the swimming pool here was open. Every time I went down there to get a good tan, everybody would look at my birthmark. So for a while, I let it go. It really didn't bother me that much. But I kept looking at it in the mirror, and I just got so fed up with it. So one day, while I was working out, I talked to a friend of mine who happened to be an army doctor. And so I asked him about cutting off something like a birthmark on your body. And he replied that the army wouldn't do nothing like that, and that it was against army policy to ever cut something like that off your body. Well, I had told myself that there's no way of doing it, and I had to live with it, and I convinced myself to just live with my birthmark. I said God put it on there, and so it'll stay there. Well, I went for about a week, and everybody asked me, "What's that on your back?" until I got so tired of it. So I talked to a one Sergeant Joe, who told me he knows someone in Hangchang that would cut it off. Sergeant Joe is one of our Korean MPs that live here on post. And you know what? He sure can speak good English. So the next day, me and him went to the hospital. It didn't look like a hospital. And he and I talked to the doctor there. You know what? The doc knew real good English, too. He went to school in the U.S., so he knew of what I wanted. Well, he just talked to me for a while and just asked me a few questions and told me to come back the next morning at 10. The next night, I was so scared that I wasn't going to do it. But the next morning, I got up, got dressed, and ate breakfast, and boy, was I scared. I just thought that if someone found out I did it, boy, would I be in trouble. But I kept right on thinking about surprising you all when I come home and didn't have no birthmark. And I even surprised me. It was my one dream to have it off. So I went to the doc at about 10 o'clock, and he was there. We went in his office, and he talked to me a little more and looked at my birthmark a little more. Then we went into the next room, where three fine, good-looking nurses gave me a physical before going into the operating room. Then I told the doc, Doc Jams, that I wanted to be fully asleep before ever seeing a butcher knife. But seems he had other plans of his own in his mind. The nurses gave me a shot. Boy, that just about killed me. And I thought that it was to put me to sleep. So I was expecting to fall asleep. But then all of a sudden the doctor said, let's go in here. So I got up. And all I had on was my jeans. They didn't even wheel me in the operating room. And guess what? It reminded me of when I worked at Colburn's meat shop. Really, there was just a long table in the center of the room. And another doctor with this rag around his mouth, I was a-fixin' to turn and run around. But I walked to the table and he told me to lay on my left side, so I did. First, about seven good-looking nurses came into the room. I didn't even care to look at them. All I was worrying about was that stupid guy laying on a table, meaning me. Well, the doctor put a red tracer on my back. He said he had to draw a diagram of how my skin ran. So when he sews me up, he wouldn't go as crooked as a snake. Then after he got finished playing around with the skin on my back, he said, this is going to hurt a little. I looked around, and boy, what a needle. It had to be at least 9 inches long. He stuck it right in the middle of my birthmark. See, all this time I thought I was supposed to go to sleep. But not a thing like that happened. I even tried to help myself to go to sleep, and that didn't even work. The doctor said it was the deadened area of my birthmark, but I still felt him touch my back. Then all of a sudden I felt something running down my back, so I figured it was blood from him cutting my birthmark. Well, he pulled and he tugged, and finally something happened. The shot that he gave me was wearing off, and a couple of times I felt him cut my skin, and it got so bad that I balled up my fist, and so help me, if that other doctor and nurses hadn't held me down, I would have smacked him upside his face. Mom, Dad, believe me, I went through some kind of pain. After he sewed me up and wiped the blood off my back, He said I was finished. Boy, was I glad. Then I got up and I looked around me. And was I dizzy. I looked and I saw about a sheet full of blood. Not that much, but there was a lot of rags with blood. Then he picked up something out of the pan. And guess what? That's the first time I seen my birthmark in person. Looking at me square in the face. And boy, was it ugly. I asked him how many stitches did it take, and he said 21. Then I walked to his office, and he told me how much. But I really didn't care, just as long as it was over. It cost me 40,000 wons, and in American money, it would be $80. Well, I wasn't pleased with the price, but I sure didn't want him to put it back on. He then gave me an injection shot and pain pills, and I went home to Campage, where I went to work at 3 o'clock. The operation took 1 hour and 45 minutes and $80 of my money. But one important thing is, it took the birthmark off. I went back for 5 days, getting bandages changed and more injection shots, which a pretty good-looking nurse gave them to me. After a week and a half, he took the stitches out, and I haven't gone there since, and I won't. Well, now it's okay, and I feel okay, too. I'll send you all a picture when I develop my film, okay? Now you all know, and I told you all, I'd come back home different, didn't I? Love to all, your son Gale. P.S. You know what, Mom? Now I'm starting to worry about the scar on my back. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell not to worry over me. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell her I'm okay, you see. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell not to worry over me. I'm writing a letter to Mother to tell I'm okay, you see. Campage, Korea, Sunday, October the 5th, 1975. Dear Mom, well, I guess I'll tell you all the death story of my ugly birthmark. When and how I got my birthmark off. Well, it all started when the swimming pool here was open. Every time I went down there to get a good tan, everybody would look at my birthmark. So for a while, I let it go. It really didn't bother me that much. But I kept looking at it in the mirror, and I just got so fed up with it. So one day, while I was working out, I talked to a friend of mine who happened to be an army doctor. And so I asked him about cutting off something like a birthmark on your body. And he replied that the army wouldn't do nothing like that. And that it was against army policy to ever cut something like that off your body. Well, I had told myself that there's no way of doing it. And I had to live with it. And I convinced myself to just live with my birthmark. I said God put it on there, and so it'll stay there. Well, I went for about a week, and everybody asked me, what's that on your back? Until I got so tired of it. So I talked to a one Sergeant Joe, who told me he knows someone in Hangchang that would cut it off. Sergeant Joe is one of our Korean MPs that live here on post. And you know what? He sure can speak good English. So the next day, me and him went to the hospital. It didn't look like a hospital. And he and I talked to the doctor there. You know what? The doc knew real good English, too. He went to school in the U.S., so he knew of what I wanted. Well, he just talked to me for a while. and just asked me a few questions and told me to come back the next morning at 10. The next night I was so scared that I wasn't going to do it. But the next morning I got up, got dressed, then ate breakfast, and boy, was I scared. I just thought that if someone found out I did it, boy, would I be in trouble. But I kept right on thinking about surprising you all when I come home and didn't have no birthmark. And I even surprised me. It was my one dream to have it off. So I went to the doc at about 10 o'clock, and he was there. We went in his office, and he talked to me a little more and looked at my birthmark a little more. Then we went into the next room, where three fine, good-looking nurses gave me a physical before going into the operating room. Then I told the doc, Doc Jams, that I wanted to be fully asleep before ever seeing a butcher knife. But seems he had other plans of his own in his mind. The nurses gave me a shot. Boy, that just about killed me. And I thought that it was to put me to sleep. So I was expecting to fall asleep. But then all of a sudden the doctor said, let's go in here. So I got up. And all I had on was my jeans. They didn't even wheel me in the operating room. And guess what? It reminded me of when I worked at Colburn's meat shop. Really, there was just a long table in the center of the room. And another doctor with this rag around his mouth, I was a-fixin' to turn and run around. But I walked to the table and he told me to lay on my left side, so I did. First, about 7 good-looking nurses came into the room. I didn't even care to look at them. All I was worrying about was that stupid guy laying on a table, meaning me. Well, the doctor put a red tracer on my back. He said he had to draw a diagram of how my skin ran. So when he sews me up, he wouldn't go as crooked as a snake. Then after he got finished playing around with the skin on my back, he said, this is going to hurt a little. I looked around, and boy, what a needle. It had to be at least 9 inches long. He stuck it right in the middle of my birthmark. See, all this time I thought I was supposed to go to sleep. But not a thing like that happened. I even tried to help myself to go to sleep, and that didn't even work. The doctor said it was to deaden the area of my birthmark, but I still felt him touch my back. Then all of a sudden I felt something running down my back, so I figured it was blood from him cutting my birthmark. Well, he pulled and he tugged, and finally something happened. The shot that he gave me was wearing off, and a couple of times I felt him cut my skin, and it got so bad that I balled up my fist, and so help me, if that other doctor and nurses hadn't held me down, I would have smacked him upside his face. Mom, Dad, believe me, I went through some kind of pain. After he sewed me up and wiped the blood off my back, he said I was finished. Boy, was I glad. Then I got up and I looked around me. And was I dizzy. I looked and I saw about a sheet full of blood. Not that much, but there was a lot of rags with blood. Then he picked up something out of the pan. And guess what? That's the first time I seen my birthmark in person, looking at me square in the face. And boy, was it ugly. I asked him how many stitches did it take, and he said 21. Then I walked to his office, and he told me how much. But I really didn't care, just as long as it was over. It cost me 40,000 wons, and in American money, it would be $80. Well, I wasn't pleased with the price, but I sure didn't want him to put it back on. He then gave me an injection shot and pain pills, and I went home to Camp Page, where I went to work at 3 o'clock. The operation took 1 hour and 45 minutes and $80 of my money. But one important thing is, it took the birthmark off. I went back for 5 days, getting bandages changed and more injection shots, which a pretty good-looking nurse gave them to me. After a week and a half, he took the stitches out, and I haven't gone there since, and I won't. Well, now it's okay, and I feel okay, too. I'll send you all a picture when I develop my film, okay? Now you all know, and I told you all, I'd come back home different, didn't I? Love to all, your son Gail. P.S. You know what, Mom? Now I'm starting to worry about the scar on my back. to worry over me. I'm writing a letter to mother to tell her I'm okay, you see.
Lair, and bring it up to this office, and we'll identify it for you.
But you see, I don't have any ducks.
Well, then I can't help you.
No, but I want you to come and exterminate my house, even though I don't have any ducks.
No, we don't do that.
Nothing about bugs. You killed them all. Nothing about bugs. You can't kill 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 them all. Nothing about bugs.
For JJ's
Rag
Inna
Radio
Active Science
Lab
Winna
Long Came Spider
Who Bit Now
He
is Web
Sling It Swing It Through NYC.
Now Spider-Man, he was so cocky, and all he wanted was the Buzz TV. But after Uncle's murder, it made him see, with great power comes responsibility. And now criminals all around the town will turn tails and scatter when they hear this sound.
Friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
And Barker, known as Spider-Man, but Norman Osborn's gotten darker in his corporate plan. After he took a serum, wild delirium, out to kill Spidey and everyone near him.
On his glider, throwing bombs, Green Goblin, he be yelling.
So with time and Spidey's climbing, stopping crime and all the villains, Scorpion,
Hobgoblin, Kingpin, Rhino,
Venom, Carnage,
Dr. Rock,
and Electro. With that, May,
Mary Jane,
yeah, he'd like
to meet her.
Get the
girl,
save the
world, and his name is Peter. Men, as I was told, mutant powers and such, he's brave and bold, like Xavier, who's the savior of the bays like Rogue. Her and Storm will make you warm while they will stay in vogue, and it's been great to see your play, will make you say, God damn, that Stan Lee made my day. Cyclops' vision is beaming, Magneto is scheming, yeah, he's dreaming of reaming, Toad's a little demon, Logan Wolverine's powers will heal all your wounds when he fights with claws against Sabretooth. Now Reed can stretch for a mile or more, he's the mister of the Fantastic Four, with invisible suit and a thing that's orange, just don't get scorched by the Human Torch.
Get Banner Man and you'll shout egad. He's the big green Hulk whose temper is bad. He's the big green Hulk in your neighborhood. Oh,
smash,
something
smash,
key,
smash,
something good.
There it is.
Victor Von Doom is in the slammer. Silver Surfer's all shiny. Daredevil's cool, but he can't see. Do they compare? None of them can to your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Huh.
Hey, Diva, let's break it down. Spider-Man?
Yeah, Spider-Man.
Uh-huh, spinning webs from here to Japan.
Come on, see him there, swinging higher.
Homeboy looks like Tobey Maguire.
Look out.
The Spider-House rules.
Here comes the Spider-Man.
Moon Saw is ready, ooh yeah.
Life is a great day, wherever there's a pain, you'll find the Spider-Man.
We'll be right back. Hi, this is Country Joe McDonald, and you're listening to Radio Valencia.
Shout out to Ron, Howie, and Ian for starting this bad boy.
That is Rampage Radio.
40 years ago.
Radio onto that FM. It's I, Last Singer Manny, and
Todd.
The Todd Show. As Rampage Radio, we are the Allied Forces.
happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Hello, Camp Band. Once again, if you're interested in taking lessons at the school or getting in a band, if you're interested in getting in a band, right at the top of the steps, they can sign you up. Come by the school, get some lessons. You are in. We do all ages, by the way. You can only be in a band, though, if you're a little young.
Today, but we're gonna mix them in with maybe that kind of.
It'll be our 40th anniversary month.
Right.
Celebrate it for a month.
Let's do that.
Get Ron Quintana.
And what are we doing on our anniversary? What are we doing? We're going to go see a brunch metal show
tomorrow.
A metal brunch show.
A day drinking show.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna have my ham and eggs. Oh no, I'm gonna have it. What do you call it? what do you call it? The one that's good with a muffin. God damn. Holiday sauce.
The McMuffin?
No, it's
all the Eggs Benedict.
Yeah, well, you Arnold, okay.
Guy, Benedict
the,
Arnold.
From the, yeah, Arnold, exactly. Benedict. And I have, no, that was a guy from, they call it the, my God, Battlestar Galactica. What's his name, Benedict? What's his last name? I don't know. I'm just fucking around.
All right, we're going to get into music here.
So what are we
going to talk to you about shows and everything?
So many anniversary, that's a climatic there. You know why? I'm not high as hell, that's why.
Thunder.
Let's do it. High as hell. We want to thank Bob from Old Time Hanksbury Show and how he hijacked the show. He loved it, by the way. Bob, some of our best work. Some of our best Rampage Radio work was done on his shows when he was out the last couple weeks. By the way, if you want to listen to Bob's Old Hit Ashbury Show, you can hear us the last couple weeks. Good stuff. Anyway, back to Todd, the Todd Show here at Rampage Radio.
Let's get into music.
Let's do it. Well, I'm ready for you. Oh, yeah, you got to bring the fucking the rainy weather on a beautiful day like this, being the, what, the 15th day of, no, 5th day of March. The anniversary of Rampage Radio, the 40th anniversary.
Yes.
The day before is tomorrow. For tomorrow,
Andy,
we die. Why?
Oh, I need you to believe.
Oh, death will be spread again by the Moses Z. Another Z. It's not a Z's in our life.
Rampage Radio.
Rampage Radio, Rebel.fm.
I need you to breathe, Manny.
How's everybody doing out there? DJ ESB here in the house, getting settled, waiting for Original Brewer, who's just around the corner. We'll be coming up at the top of the hour at 2 o'clock. I'm going to see you in with a little choose life. We should all choose life.
Television, choose washing machines, cars, compact displays and electrical tin openers, choose leisure wear and matching luggage, choose a three-piece suite on hire, purchase and a range of fucking fabrics, choose DIY and wondering who the fuck you are on a Saturday morning, choose sitting on that couch watching mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows, stuffing fucking junk food into your mouth, choose rotting away at the end of it all, pissing your last in a miserable home, nothing more than an embarrassment to the selfish, fucked-up brats that you spawn to replace yourselves, choose your future, choose life. I chose not to choose life. I chose something else.
life.